time for your SportsEdge.com sideline report with Todd Griffin. Talking sports and more here on 1580 103.3 WPKY and worldwide at WPKYonline.com. Here's your host, Todd Griffin.
Good morning, everyone. The Sideline Report is on the air from 1035 West Main Street in Princeton, the WPKY studios. Got a busy show lined up today, and then we'll be joining the governor's press conference from Fort Campbell immediately after the Sideline Report this morning, so stay tuned for that. Going to start the day with former Caldwell County Tiger football head coach Will Barnes in the studio with us. And Will, thanks for coming in, and it sounds weird to say former Tiger coach.
Yeah, it's the, you know, I don't know that I'll get used to it, but yeah, that's right.
Well, explain to us a little bit the decision to step down, and do you want to stay in coaching, and what's kind of your plans for the future now?
Yeah, you know, my wife and family, we're going to move back to Owensboro, which you know, she's from there, and you know, I've spent a lot of time there. I was born in Owensboro, and you know, we just had the opportunity to get to do that. And that's something we've talked about for a long time. So, you know, we felt like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that was the best thing for us. And I've got a pretty good idea of what I'm going to be doing, but you know, that hasn't all got finalized and set in stone yet. But you know, we're looking forward to that, but at the same time, you know, it's very difficult to leave a place like this that's been home for so long. It will always be home, and just, you know, thinking about the things that have happened since we moved here in 2006, there's been a lot of ups and downs, and a lot of great, great memories, and a lot of really good people. So, you know, to be honest with you, if I was anywhere else, it would have been an easy move. But being here, you know, really, you go back and forth, and it definitely wasn't an easy decision.
Well, when your dad came here, he was coming back home. You know, it was a homecoming for him. But I think people forget you actually played as a freshman at Davis County.
Yeah, you know, I guess I was 14 when we moved here, so you know, I spent the majority of my life in Owensboro, and then, you know, went to Westland, of course, and spent, you know, 5 years in Owensboro. So you know, I've spent a good chunk of time in Owensboro. I've got a lot of friends in Owensboro. You know, the best man at my wedding lives in Owensboro. So, and Sarah, my wife, has a lot of connections in Owensboro, and it's just something that family-wise, we always thought that, you know, if it came up and we had the right opportunity came up, we would do it. And you know, when we started saying those things, that was a long time ago, and never imagined we'd be where we're at today, which, like I said, made it a lot more difficult.
Well, and one thing that had to be great for you was you got to coach with your dad after playing for him earlier.
Yeah. And you know, when I left and graduated and, you know, went to Glasgow, I didn't know if I ever wanted to do that. And then, you know, a great opportunity here came about, and really glad we were able to do that. And, you know, especially since he's passed away, you know, those 2 years – I guess it was 2 years, yeah, 3 years, 2 years. We're as good of years coaching and being in sports as that probably I'll ever have. Maybe when my kids are playing, well, it'll be similar. But really glad we were able to move back here and do that. And yeah, that was something special and not a lot of people get to do. And you know, had two pretty good years of success too.
Well, did you ever think you'd have the opportunity to be head coach at Caldwell County, or did that kind of surprise you when that opportunity came up?
No, when I moved here, that was definitely not, you know, I didn't think I would ever come back here to coach and teach. But then once we got here, it was more about, you know, being with our coaching staff and being in the community and getting to coach with my dad, that was, you know, I never really thought about that. And then was very fortunate to get that opportunity too. And, you know, being a head coach, there's a lot that goes into it, but there's also, you get a lot out of it. And, you know, it was a great experience and really appreciative of, you know, everybody. You know, there's a laundry list of people to thank, but you know, I told the kids last week that I always thought Caldwell County was special, but I didn't really think about why it was special. And you know, I guess I'm getting old, I don't know, but more sentimental, but it's the people that make Caldwell County. Caldwell County is just the name. The people behind it is what make it special, and you know, people like you that, you know, have roots here that really support not just sports, just our whole entire community, and that's why this place is special. And it was you know, for us to leave, it was going to have to be the right opportunity, and it just, you know, kind of worked out that way.
Well, you're still actually relatively young guy. You, when you were named head coach, you're one of the youngest head coaches around.
Yeah, I'll be 32 next week, so I've, you know, that's something, you know, Coach McClellan, we were talking, and he said, you know, you've got 9 years in teaching. He said, I've got, you know, he doesn't have that long until he could retire if he wanted to. So I'm still early in this thing, and so is my wife. So I hope we've got a lot of a life to live and a lot of other things to do.
A unique situation at Caldwell County, though, where the coaching staff has just been together for so long. I mean, you just don't see 20 years for some of them or more. That's just not the norm.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that that will ever be seen again, and it's very special. And I was thinking about that today, you know, outside of my mom and dad, you know, I'm not sure, and probably my grandparents, you know, I've probably haven't been around a group of people more than those guys. You know, they were all here in 06 when we moved here. And then, you know, I've been here off and on ever since then. So, you know, those guys are like family, and that gets thrown around a lot in coaching circles and, you know, coach talk, that their staff, they look like, you know, look at them as their family. But here, that's the truth. And that's another reason why it was really, really difficult to leave, because of the relationships I've got with those guys. And like I said, since 2006, you know, there's been a lot of highs. There's been some lows. And those guys have been through it all with us. So very appreciative of them.
What did you learn as a head coach that maybe you didn't realize when you were an assistant coach?
Well, I think you know what all goes into it, and then, you know, you get into it, and there's 9 million things that come up that you don't really plan for. So, really, it's just about being able to manage your time, and, you know, I was still calling the offense, so really the time I was working, you know, probably doubled, you know, so you've got certain things you've got to do if you're going to be the offensive coordinator. You've got certain things you got to do if you're going to be the head coach. And it's not an easy thing. But it's fun. And it was we had a great group of kids, you know, and starting out in 2020 with COVID, I think even for, you know, somebody like Joe Morris that's been doing it for a long time was a big wrench. And then, you know, that being my first year, to be honest with you, it would have been a miserable year. But we had a phenomenal group of kids and, you know, that were a joy to be around. And, you know, I've got great relationships with them, you know, to this day. So, you know, that first group in 20, I think really kind of set the standard for everybody else. We've had two good groups the last 2 years too.
The thing I remember about the COVID year, it seemed like all the opponents that might have been a little easier wound up getting canceled somehow, and all the tough opponents, they were right there every week.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. You know, we were 3-4, and you know, if that group would have got a full season, you know, it would have been a lot different, I think. And, you know, you look at the four games we lost. Murray beat us twice in one-possession games. Mayfield beat us in a one-possession game. And then Hoptown, all those teams, you know, Murray was in the semifinals. Hopkinsville was in the semifinals. And Murray and Mayfield played the playoffs in an overtime game. So, you know, we were right there. And, you know, that happens, you know, to make those runs. You know, you think about that run in 12, you got to catch a few breaks to make those runs. And, you know, our kids always play hard. We just we came up a few plays short just every single one-score game that year, it seemed like.
We're talking this morning with Will Barnes, stepping down as head coach of the Caldwell County Tiger football team, and three seasons, I believe, as head coach at Caldwell County. And you guys had to get a little bit creative offensively the last couple of years. I don't think you were quite running the offense you would have liked to, but you ended up running an offense that ended up being pretty effective for you.
Yeah, the last 2 years really kind of changed, you know, really my outlook on how to run offense. And, you know, we weren't able to throw the ball as efficiently as we usually have been. And so we had to do some creative things to try to manufacture some offense. You know, we've played pretty good defense really all 3 years. And so we've been able, you know, kind of transition to run the ball using tight ends and some stuff like that people probably didn't think we had the capability to do. But it's kind of getting to the point where in 06, you know, nobody was doing, you know, playing with four receivers and playing fast and throwing screens and doing all that stuff. To now, everybody's doing that. So I think you're already starting to see more tight ends and things like that because people, you know, they're not used to playing against that stuff. And we were able to take advantage of that and give us a chance to be successful. And this past season, you know, the end of the year, I think we were really rolling. And, you know, I don't know if people know this or not, but, you know, we had like 20 to 25 kids the last week of the season that had the flu or some type of sickness. So that, you know, we got beat. McLean County did a great job. But, you know, you'd like at the end of the year to have, you know, a regular week of practice and have your guys healthy. And I hated it for those kids, especially the seniors, because those are the guys that kind of, you know, got that thing turned around this season.
You go back and look, though, and for about 10 years, maybe a little bit longer, an incredible run of talent just came through the program. And if you're Caldwell County and you're a smaller school, and I don't think Caldwell's like a Class A school in that sense, but still it's on the smaller side, it's tough to keep producing players year after year. You almost have to have a down year somewhere before it comes back again.
Yeah, if you just kind of look at the history of it, you're right. There's 10 years is a pretty good while.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if there's been a 10-year stretch like we've just had, but you've got ups and downs, and that happens, you know, really everywhere. You know, you people look at Louisville Trinity, you know, as this big powerhouse program, and they are, and, you know, they've had a little bit of a downturn too. So, you know, every program has ups and downs, and, you know, I think here, though, even in a down year, you feel like you can compete and have a successful season.
Going back to your playing days at Caldwell County, what's maybe some of your favorite memories for getting to play for the blue and gold?
You know, that first season in 06 was a lot of fun because we were winning a lot of games. And but really, you know, there's a lot of games that I remember, but you know, just being around, you know, the teammates and making friends and, you know, playing football, that was a lot of fun. And, you know, that was I didn't know at the time, but Dad obviously did that, you know, it was a great move for us. And I can't imagine if we didn't do it. And it was, you know, those 3 years playing here were awesome and had a lot of great memories and made a lot of really good friends here that, you know, I've talked to, I don't know, 15 years later, I guess, almost. So, yeah, it's been a lot of awesome experiences.
Well, and people maybe don't remember or realize, but you also played some baseball while you were here.
Yeah. Growing up, you know, Owensboro is a baseball town, and so really I liked baseball a lot more than football growing up. And once I got into middle school and high school, that kind of flipped. But, I played baseball here. That was a lot of fun, too. That's, talking about Coach Stallings. Coach Stallings was my quarterback coach in high school, baseball coach in high school, and then, you know, the last 5 or 6 years we've got to coach together. So, those are things that are experiences that were so much fun, and really will remember those times and building those relationships because, that's kind of a unique deal. But, I had a lot of fun playing baseball, too, and still enjoy baseball.
As a football coach, what was your favorite thing about coaching? What was your favorite thing about being a head coach?
I liked, being the, in charge and, kind of putting your print on it and, I liked being able to do that, and just the you feel like you got a little bit different relationship with the kids if you're the head coach. And before I was always just worried about the offense, and now I think I've got a little bit better understanding of all the facets that go into a team and leadership type stuff and some of the things that we've started and done here I'm happy about and were fun things that I'm glad I was able to do.
Well, because for coaches, football games don't start at 7 o'clock on Friday night. They start the previous weekend.
Yes, you're right. It's a lot of hours on the weekend, and even assistant coaches are doing that. And really it's a lot of hours year round. Like right now, we're in the weight room and spring practice is around the corner, and then you get into, when school's out, you're basically, it's football season. You got a couple hours a day and you're doing things to get ready for the season. So, you probably take a couple weeks off after the season's over. But there's always something you could be doing, and so it never really stops.
How much sports do you follow? I mean, Major League Baseball opening days today. Are you pretty excited about that?
Yeah, I'll watch some baseball. Watch the Final Four this weekend. So yeah, I watch it all and really try to follow the high school sports too. I watch the state tournament, girls and boys. Try to get out and watch our baseball team as much as possible. Sports is, I've played sports my whole life and been around it all my life, and I love sports, and so yeah, it my wife would probably say it consumes my life, but I enjoy it.
Well, what did you think of your fantasy baseball draft?
Well, I get to school yesterday, Coach McClung's hammering me because I picked too many pitchers, but I don't know. We'll see. I just started playing fantasy baseball, so I like the kind of strategy and day to day, setting your lineup and having something to follow during baseball season.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's actually going to work. I'm kind of new at that myself.
Yeah,
I've never played the week to week thing, so it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. NCAA tournament, who you got?
UConn.
Can you believe all the upsets?
It's been a crazy tournament, and but it's fun, and I kind of think UConn's probably the best team, but no outcome would surprise me. I just hope they're good games to watch.
Yeah.
And the women's tournament's been fun. Caught a little bit of that, and that's been fun to watch.
Again, we're talking this morning with Will Barnes. In case you missed the news, he has stepped down as the Caldwell County football head coach. And, Will, we're going to miss you and miss you on Saturday morning quarterback and the sideline report and all those things. But we're glad you got to spend some time at Caldwell County, and always enjoyed watching you back in the day and enjoyed getting to talk to you at halftime and after the games during football broadcasts.
Yeah, yeah, I'll miss that stuff too. And really appreciate you and all the things you do for our football program and really our community and the team at WPKY and your Sports Edge. We're very fortunate to have the coverage that we do. It's like a college team, and you know that we really appreciate. And I appreciate all you all have done, and we'll greatly miss you guys.
Well, I wasn't really sure last year when I asked if you wanted to do the halftime and postgame interviews, if that was something you'd want to do. So I was kind of, a little timid about it, but you're like, sure, we can do that. So, I mean, I thought it really added a lot to our football broadcast.
Yeah, sometimes, when we first started it, I was like, man, this may not be the best thing. You know, it can catch me at a bad time. But, no, I think it's good. If it adds value, there's no reason, that I couldn't do that. And especially for all, you all do for us. So it's fun, to do the stuff at halftime and after the game, especially when you're winning. And, again, top-notch coverage. Can't say enough about how good a job you all do.
Well, as always, I appreciate you coming in this morning and talking about it. And good luck to you. I hope you catch on with another football team someplace and get to keep coaching.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Todd. And, we'll always keep up with Caldwell County, too.
That's Will Barnes, again, stepping down as Caldwell County football head coach. Appreciate him coming in. Stay with us. We've got more on the Sideline Report after this here on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Hello, this is Brad Harrelson with First Southern National Bank. There is little doubt that many are facing financial hardships in our country today. The statistics can be startling to look at, with as many as 70% of Americans having less than $1,000 saved for emergencies. While it can be easy to point fingers, the truth of the matter is that many folks lack the basic financial knowledge to avoid these pitfalls. To meet this need, First Southern has provided financial literacy resources so that the people of our communities can be better equipped to face the financial challenges life throws their way. We invite you to explore the Financial Literacy Resource Center at fsmb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Johnson's Furniture and Appliances in Marion, Kentucky, you're treated like family, because to them, family is everything. Johnson's has the reputation of helping customers with brands you can count on, like GE Appliances. Shop their selection of GE Appliances with premium finishes and features that make household chores easier, giving you time to do what matters. Bring home the long-lasting quality of GE Appliances today. Trust Johnson's for furniture, bedding, and appliances, because you're like family, and family is everything.
Come by the Joint in Eddyville for mouth-watering smoked meats and flavorful sides, now with a brand new look. They've remodeled the interior to give you an even better experience and can't wait for you to see it. Stop by Tuesday through Sunday and enjoy the same great food and service you have grown accustomed to. Find The Joint online for more information and to book their catering services. The Joint is the perfect spot for a quick lunch or a fun night out. Come see for yourself. They can't wait to serve you.
This is Kevin Meacham from H&R AgriFi. When it's more than just your lawn, it deserves a Kubota Z400. Get a head-turning offer on class-leading speed, agility, simple deck height adjustment, and quality cut. When you need comfort and performance, then you need the professional-grade Kubota Z400. Right now, get the Kubota Z400 mower for zero down, 0% APR for 48 months, or save $300.
Now through June 30th, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer. Test drive one today at H&R AgriPower, 4900 Eagle Way, Hopkinsville.
Need cash fast? Contact ABC Finance now.
Are you concerned about your current financial situation?
At ABC Finance, we can help.
Hi, this is Savannah Seymour at the Princeton ABC Finance location.
And this is Todd Morris at the Hopkinsville location.
At ABC Finance, we don't just provide loans, but we also provide valuable advice to help you get your credit in better standing.
Our friendly team of professionals has your best interest in mind, and we celebrate with you whenever your finances improve.
We encourage you to like our Facebook page, ABC Finance. Many of those useful tips are posted daily on our page, including tons of community info and motivation for the day.
Who couldn't use that? You can also visit us at abcfinanceonline.com, where you can even apply for loans online.
Or just give us a call and we can take your application over the phone. Or stop by. No appointment is needed and walk-ins are welcome.
All loans subject to normal credit approval.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580, 103.3 WPKY. Appreciate you tuning into the show this morning. Again, thanks to Will Barnes for coming by and spending some time with us. As always, appreciate his time. We've got baseball action for you coming up on WPKY this afternoon. The Tigers at home taking on Carlisle County at the VFW ballpark. Our broadcast begins immediately following the 5 o'clock newscast today, so tune in. We'll have all the action of Tiger baseball live from the VFW ballpark. It's a busy schedule for Caldwell County High School sports today. Lady Tigers softball is at home against Webster County. The Caldwell County tennis teams will play at the CCHS tennis courts today against Hopkinsville. You know, that'll be in town as well. And the Caldwell County track team going to Hopkins County Central for action today. So everyone, all the Caldwell County high school sports teams in action today. We'll have baseball for you right here on WPKY. Again, Carlisle County coming to the VFW ballpark today. Stay with us. We're going to talk to Chris George right after this here on the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
Bollinger Real Estate and Auction has made it their mission to build strong relationships in Caldwell County. If an auction is something necessary in your future, allow the Bollinger team to help you.
Your Weather Edge Weather Center forecast. Areas of frost this morning, otherwise sunny skies. High of 67 this afternoon. Then tonight, rain likely and possibly a thunderstorm after the midnight hours into early Friday morning. Increasing cloud cover and a low of 51. Southeast winds could be as high as 25 miles an hour. And then Friday, rain is likely, possibly a thunderstorm by the midday. High of 71. And a breezy south wind that could be as high as 35 miles an hour. But back to this afternoon, sunny skies and 67 degrees.
If you're involved in an auto accident, it's your choice where your vehicle is repaired. Some insurance companies refer you to Pro Shops because they give the insurance company discounts. But with those discounts, the insurance company has input on the parts used and might not always use what is best. At Trice Hughes Body Shop, they're not partnered with an insurance company, but they give the same lifetime limited warranty to the person who owns the vehicle at the time of repairs. Visit Trice Hughes in Princeton for your vehicle repairs.
Life is busy. We get it. That's why at First Southern National Bank, we are launching a new experience for customers. Our drive-thrus are being replaced with full-access banking lanes that utilize new technology to give you greater convenience. You can now do almost everything you could do inside the bank or at the ATM, all from your car. Tellers are available via video to assist you if needed, and bank services now have extended hours. Learn more at fsnb.net. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At YourSportsEdge.com, we strive every day to continue to bring you the gold standard in high school sports coverage with more on your teams and your players.
Where did it show up there?
And while they are not gold, those crystal awards we have won for doing what we love to do are pretty cool, too.
Something you see every day.
The Kentucky Broadcaster's Best Digital Product Award winner. YourSportsEdge.com.
If you really enjoy the stories you hear on Traveling the Bluegrass, we'd like to invite you to listen to the whole visit uncut. Just type youragedge.com into your browser. You'll find Traveling the Bluegrass uncut stories in long form, so you don't miss a thing. You'll also find lots of ag news and farm pictures from across the Commonwealth. You can also find all the Kentucky communities that Traveling the Bluegrass can be found. Remember to visit youragedge.com.
We are back on the Sideline Report at 1580 103.3 WPKY. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Again, we're going to talk to Chris George on the phone this morning. We're going to get him lined up here in just a bit. Stay with us. We're going to take another break. Again, coming up at the top of the hour, we'll have Governor Andy Beshear's press conference from Fort Campbell on the helicopter crash last night over in Trigg County. The governor will be giving an update from Fort Campbell, so we'll have that for you at the top of the hour. Again, we're going to take another break. We'll get Chris George on the line and talk to him when we continue on the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY.
BNC Unique Boutique. Ladies of all ages will enjoy shopping for the latest fashions, clothing, jewelry, shoes, and gifts. BNC Unique Boutique, Princeton and Grand Rivers, Kentucky.
Your Weather Edge Weather Center forecast. We've got frost this morning, then sunny skies by the midday, high of 67. Then tonight, rain likely, possibly thunderstorms as we roll into early Friday morning. Increasing cloud cover and a low of 51. Southeast winds could be as high as 15 to 25 miles an hour. And then on Friday, rain is likely by the midday. Thunderstorms as well, high of 71. Breezy south winds could be as high as 35 miles an hour. And then Friday night, showers and possibly thunderstorms before the midnight hour, low around 51. And a breezy west-southwest wind that could be as high as 40 miles an hour. But back to this afternoon after some early frost, sunny skies, 67 degrees.
Hello, I'm Sheila Gates with Farmers Bank. Is your money working hard or hardly working? With a Farmers Bank certificate deposit, you get a safe investment with a predictable return on your hard-earned dollars. Call today and see how we can make rising interest rates a good thing for your bottom line. For a limited time only, ask about our new money promotion that gives you an even higher rate. Farmers Bank, live unique, bank unique, member FDIC. Terms apply.
At Tricews, they're ordering it your way. How would you like to have a vehicle built just for you? Little things are important, like rich colors, big screens and displays, almost like watching TV. Exteriors with beautiful style and powerful engines that respond to the lightest touch on the accelerator. It's time to get what you want. Order your new ride and feel the thrill when you drive off the lot. Tricews in Princeton is the one-stop shop for everything your vehicle needs. For more information, visit Tricews.com. That's Tricews.com.
This is the Sideline Report on 1580 103.3 WPKY. Again, thanks for tuning in on this Thursday morning. Beautiful day in Princeton. And now we're going to find out where Chris George is. Welcoming Chris George back on the show this morning. And Chris, where in the world are you today?
I'm sitting at my desk on Building J on Sky CTC's campus.
Okay, so you're actually in Bowling Green. That's a rarity.
I am actually in Bowling Green, yes. You can pin my location in Bowling Green today.
So are you excited for opening day, Major League Baseball coming up?
I got on a Braves pullover, Todd. I got on Major League Baseball socks. I listened to baseball music coming to work this morning. So absolutely, you know, I'm loving it that it's opening day.
Well, it's always a big day for me, too, a St. Louis Cardinals fan. And, you know, I don't really watch Major League Baseball as much as I used to. I basically just watch the Cardinals anymore, but somehow Major League Baseball opening day is just always a really big deal.
Well, you know, it really is. Everybody's a contender today, the next couple of days. And, you know, baseball is just I love all sports, but it's something special about baseball. Yeah. And something special about opening day.
Yeah. What do you make of all the changes that Major League Baseball has made to its rules for this season?
Well, I read an article yesterday, Todd, that said the spring training games, the pitch clock is shaved about 26 minutes off of the game on an average. So I am in favor of the pitch clock. I want to make sure – I'm hoping they make sure teams don't start to strategically use the pitch clock, because you saw a couple of situations in spring training where catchers were kind of – delaying and the batter wasn't getting in the box, and they got a couple automatic strikes called on because the batter wasn't ready in time. You know, you got to be careful about that kind of stuff because people are going to scheme ways to take advantage of that. But I do believe the pitch clock, something was necessary. These pitchers taking forever to throw the ball. Come on. And I like the limiting the number of pickoffs, because now you're going to have to be strategic about how many times you throw over to first. And I think we're going to see stolen bases go up. Like it. I'm interested on the shift. What do you think about the shift?
I don't like banning the shift. I think, you know, you've basically got seven defenders because you've got your pitcher and your catcher, and they're pretty well set. I think you should be able to put your seven defenders after that wherever you want to. I mean, you can't cover the entire field, and as a hitter, you're supposed to hit it where they ain't. So I don't
Correct.
Like the shift. I can deal with the DH, you know, which has been around a little while now anyway. I can deal with the pitch clock. I don't like relievers having to pitch to three batters. I don't like only two tosses to first on pickoff attempts. I think it's getting too gimmicky. I mean, the pitch clock, yeah, okay, if it helps the game, if it speeds things up and makes it more enjoyable, fine. But I think we end up with too many rules sometimes.
Well, I think the shift batters, I think batters needed to adjust to the shift. It's like, okay, some of these guys who are dead pull hitters, now you got to learn how to go the other way, and then they're not going to shift them.
Well, yeah, and there were times where batters were up there with a third baseman that was almost at second base, and I'm like, just push a bunt down that side of the field and you're on base.
Correct. You know, I love slow-pitch softball, but I'm like, Major League Baseball is becoming slow-pitch softball with some of these rules, because that pretty much the shift rule is slow-pitch softball, that you can't have multiple people on the other side of one of the bases. You know, you got to have – it's got to be balanced, and that's essentially what it's become. And I guess now teams are going to play one of their outfielders as a rover.
Yeah. Well, to me, the thing that hurt Major League Baseball the most is they wanted it to become home run derby. So they moved all the outfield fences in so people could hit more home runs. Well, unfortunately, we ended up with people either hitting a home run or striking out. You know, you've made the field smaller, so there's a smaller area for outfielders to have to defend, and you don't see as many doubles and triples, it seems like. It looks to me, if you push the fences back, there's more gap areas for people to hit and end up with more doubles and triples and maybe more runs scored.
Can you imagine today's players having to play in the polo grounds?
Oh, no. You know, they would probably go to the Players Association and file some kind of complaint if they had to play. And well, Yankee Stadium back in the day, it was forever to left center field.
Yeah.
So, that's probably not going to happen, but I think if you look at a place like Coors Field, I think a lot of runs are scored there, not because the ball flies because of altitude, but because there's so much outfield area. You've only got three outfielders. They can't cover it, so a lot of base hits get down. You know, outfielders have to play back, so base hits fall in front of them. There's a lot of gap area. Balls hit and go to the wall. Now with the smaller parks, outfielders can play in and take away a lot of balls that might have been singles in the past.
Well, and you know, you talk about trying to produce results. You know, most fans that, you know, don't understand some of the finer points of the game don't understand that there are other ways that the average fan wouldn't even realize to tweak with the way the game is played. I mean, the first one is the ball. Is it a year they want better pitching, so they're going to do something different with the ball, or are they going to wind it tighter? Are the laces going to be tighter? They're going to be looser, and that affects the performance of the ball. Are they going to raise the mound, or are they going to lower the mound to give the pitcher more advantage or less of an advantage? That affects what the hitter does. So I think you're right that it is becoming gimmicky in any given year. Well, we want more home runs this year, so we're going to lower the mound and we're going to tighten the ball up so it'll fly a little bit better.
Right. Yeah, there's all kinds of little things you can do to tweak things. But we're talking about baseball, and I really got to ask you about being in Miami for part of the World Baseball Classic. How fun was that?
Man, that is at the top of my baseball bucket list. I mean, it absolutely was right up there with the World Series for me. And I was disappointed, didn't get to see the United States. World Baseball Classic was a little bit shady. Many people bought tickets thinking they were buying tickets, like me, thinking they were buying tickets for the United States and Venezuela. And after the United States didn't win the pool, they flip-flopped the games. And the United States played on Saturday instead of Friday. But I really think I was the winner on that, because the atmosphere for Puerto Rico and Mexico was unbelievable. It was like, I've been telling people, it was like being at a party.
Well, that's almost the way they do soccer games. You know, there's always a big party in the crowd. I think Americans tend to go to baseball games and sit there and wait for something to happen. But when you see these other countries' fans show up, you know, they're already in motion before something happens.
Oh, yeah, singing, dancing, celebrating. It was, I just really sat back and took in the atmosphere and said, this is unlike anything. The only thing I can compare it to in a baseball experience was being at the World Series. Yeah. And this was just a quarterfinal game in the World Baseball Classic. But the fan, but, you know, for a baseball guy, those guys were really out there playing for love of country and love of the game. And I'm glad the Baseball Classic will be back in 26. And any baseball fan, you should get there and just do yourself a favor and go and take it all in.
Well, you know, when I first started it, I wasn't really sure how to jump on board with it. It seemed like it was a little lackluster, at least the way it was received initially. But somehow this year's event just absolutely took off.
It did. It was Marlins of Lone Depot Park was pretty much a sellout for that game. So I think Miami was a good venue for it. With the heavy Puerto Rican population in that area, large Cuban population in Miami, you know, really, I think it really did well. And, you know, hats off to the Japanese team. They play baseball the right way. They play baseball the old way, and that's why they won it.
Yeah, well,
they don't worry about analytics. Yeah, they just play ball.
Now, it was actually fun to see some of the major stars play as well, and I think that's part of the reason that this year's event took off more, because you had the big guys on the Japanese team, and you had the big hitters on the USA team, and to me, that made a big difference.
Well, you couldn't script it any better. I mean, if I know any better, I'd say they scripted the way it ended. I mean, Otani versus Trout.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's perfect.
Two outs. Americans got down. Come on, you can't ask for – that's a movie ending right there. And Otani strikes him out on a nasty slider.
Yeah, that was a wicked pitch.
And, you know, now you got to go back to spring training, but 2 days later and be teammates. And, dude, you just struck me out at the end of the game.
Well, I know that was a lot of fun, and I really had fun watching it. And like I said, the World Baseball Classic has really taken off, and I can't wait another 3 years for that to get around. I do want to ask you, though, because I think this is the first time we've had you on the air since the Dwight Smith jersey retirement ceremony in Bowling Green. That was one heck of a day, and that was a day that, you know, a lot of us had been hoping for a long time.
Yeah, Todd, you know, I said that's another one where I was, you know, you were down on the floor with Chip. You all got to be down on the floor, but I was up in the stands and actually really got to just sit back with Tyler Beshear and Jodan Beavers, who were so instrumental in making sure that we got that busload of people from Princeton. I can't say enough thank yous to all the people who pitched in the, and, you know, people at home understand it wasn't just people in Princeton who pitched in for financial support to make sure we got those tickets and got the bus. I don't know if it's been talked about, but through the work of Jodan and Tyler and a little bit of work by myself, no one had to pay for anything that day. I mean, it was a completely free day. Tickets were donated and paid for. Bus was donated and paid for. Lunch was donated and paid for. And, you know, we were able to probably, somebody told me, with all the people that drove, Todd, because we had a lot of people that drove that weren't part of the charter bus, that we had about 100 people there. And I know moms talked to Greg and Sheila Smith Anderson since, and they were just so happy. And I really enjoyed just sitting in the stands with Tyler and Jodan, watching the people. You know, how happy they were, how we had young and old. Greg, you know, to share a memory, we walked into Diddle Arena and Sheila Smith Anderson, Dwight's sister, just came running down the hall screaming, "My people are here, my people are here," because that was the people from Princeton, and someone had told her the people from Princeton were coming into the arena. You know, you just can't, you can't put a price tag on something like that. But, you know, they were so happy. And I'm, you know, the parts you played in it, Todd, all the articles you wrote and the social media posts from Jodan and myself, it made a difference. And I'm glad his number and name is up there where it belongs, finally.
Well, and we didn't realize until later that one of the issues with having somebody's number retired at Western Kentucky is there's no real apparatus to go through to have that done. You just have to have somebody at Western Kentucky kind of take on that responsibility and say, hey, we need to do this.
Yeah. Paul Just deserves a lot of credit for the part he played in that.
And it was an exciting day, a big crowd on hand. It was a little emotional being out on the floor when they actually unveiled the banner that was going to go up. And you turn around and you see Dwight's picture on the video screen. And everybody in the crowd is standing and applauding. That, like I said, it's a little emotional down on the court trying to take pictures even.
And they did I was there the last jersey that got put into the rafters was my good friend Bobby Rasko, and they did the jersey retirement different this time. Actually, Bobby's was already hanging, and they kind of pulled it down from up there. I liked it better having it down on the floor where everybody could see it, because I was worried that if we had the wrong seats, you're not going to be able to get a good view of what happened. So I love that they did it down under the basket. And I got to go to Diddle soon to see it actually hanging in place, because I haven't been back. But, I thought that was a much better way of doing it, bringing out the family and not having it up there in its place. I thought they did a really good job. And once again, so many people played a part. Mr. Rick Blackburn did a wonderful job with a flyer that everybody got with some, I think it pulled some information from your articles, Chip's articles, with a lot of pictures. That was really nice. It's just a great day. Great day to be from Caldwell County.
Yeah, it was almost a little surreal because we had all requested that for so long, and I'm not sure if any of us ever really expected it was going to happen.
I didn't.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You write all the stories, and we make all the comments that, hey, Western needs to do this. They need to get on this. And then you're there, and it's actually happening. And like I said, it's almost difficult to realize what's going on.
Yeah, it was. Jodan text messaged me, and I was sitting in my house, and Jodan text messaged me. He's like, "You're not going to believe what I just heard." And when I called him, and I was like, "Are you kidding?" I was like, "Finally, finally." So, yeah, Princeton, Caldwell County, your people, like always, I say there's something special about people from Princeton. We showed up, and, we always make our presence known, and it was a proud day. And then, the good things just keep coming. Greg's going into the Kentucky High School Athletics Hall of Fame here shortly.
Absolutely.
So they're getting the due they deserve on a bigger stage, because, that horrible wreck robbed all of us of wondering what really would have happened with Dwight Smith.
Hey, Chris,
so many people say he was destined to be a great.
Oh, absolutely. Chris, I appreciate you coming on the show this morning. Don't mean to cut you off, but we've got the governor's press conference coming up here from Fort Campbell this morning that we're going to try to get to. So we'll have you back on, and we'll talk some more sports at some point.
All right. Good time, Todd. Talk to you later.
Yeah, that's Chris George. Appreciate him joining us from Bowling Green this morning. Also, thanks to Will Barnes, former Caldwell County Tiger football head coach, for coming on the Sideline Report this morning. We do have baseball action coming up this afternoon on WPKY. It will be Caldwell County hosting Carlisle County at the VFW ballpark. That comes your way immediately following the 5 o'clock news. That's going to wrap us up on the Sideline Report here on 1580 103.3 WPKY Princeton.